All right, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing by the grace of God on a daily basis, the authority of Christ, part 5, how to overcome doubt, the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign, day 935 since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1234 since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. The Holy Bible reads, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John," that is John the Baptist, "had heard in the prison the works of Christ," he had already heard what Jesus Christ was doing, "he sent two of his disciples," his followers, "and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Sometimes bad circumstances will even make faithful people doubt and question, because we don't like to be in bad situations. Jesus answered and said unto them, and Jesus could have taken a different approach, but he didn't. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again." Evidently, Jesus knew that John knew what was going on. Of course, "Show John again those things which ye do hear and see." Jesus knew that they had heard what he was doing. "And let me count the ways. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Holy Father God in heaven, we know that thou art there on your throne. We know that your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, is sitting at your right hand. And we know that you are here with us tonight as well, through the power of your Holy Ghost. And we thank you, not only for your grace, but for your system of grace, your mercy, and your love, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us already throughout our lives. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for salvation full and free through your Holy Son, our Holy Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the things that have been done throughout this day to set up this time. And we thank you, Lord, for the staff here who makes it happen each and every day and in real time around the world. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you have done, for the privilege that you've given to us to proclaim your gospel, to speak the name of Jesus Christ in multiple ways, in multiple languages. And Holy Father God, we individually and collectively, we come before you to confess our sins, our failures, our faults, our inconsistencies. Lord, anywhere where we have grieved or quenched your Holy Spirit, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. In thought, word, deed, attitude, wash and cleanse us afresh and anew in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow on the inside. Fill each and every one of us with your unction, your anointing, the power of your Holy Spirit to preach, Lord, your holy word, to help get your holy word out there for all of the people here who are doing various and sundry things to do that. Multiple podcasts, things going on, one live podcast thing going on, plus five cameras going out of here live, recordings and so forth, and everything that everybody is doing. We thank you, Lord, for them. They're behind the scenes, but what is happening right now, and when we hear the reports after the services of hundreds listening in from every quarter of the earth, our Lord, is worth it all. And we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, because we know that you're not willing that any should perish. And you're far more serious than we are about this evangelistic enterprise, for it is yours, because you have real love for all of us and for everybody. And Lord, I know we would all like to say we love like you, but our love is nowhere near your love. We need your love to be shed abroad in our hearts towards others, for it to be real in any way. And so, Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, because through prayer we can ask you to work mightily on the hearts and minds and lives of the unsaved. And Lord, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would revive those who are saved. Lord, help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves and to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. I thank you, Lord, that this service is not for the religious crowd. I thank you, Lord, that this service is not for church folk. For, Lord, some of the worst people to preach to, as you know, are religious people. We're not here for the, as you, we're not here on earth for the well, but for the sick. People who will be happy to hear the gospel as the gospel, even in this passage, is preached to the poor. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Revive Christians to get on the firing line and to join Brother Greer in the Hoosier One campaign across all denominations. We pray that everybody would get one by Christmas. By your grace, your might, and the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John Piper said the biblical criterion for misplaced shame says, don't feel shame for something that honors God, that honors Christ, no matter how weak or foolish or wrong it makes you look in the eyes of men. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a very real problem in the so-called Christian church today. This is the reason why we have pastors, teachers, evangelists, so-called Christian leaders, pardon me, turning, running, and hiding from the issues of the day, saying things all right when they're not all right, because they are ashamed of God, they are ashamed of Christ, they are ashamed of the righteousness of God, and the righteousness and the holiness of Christ. But back to Dr. Piper. Dr. Piper said, and don't feel shame for bad circumstances where you don't share in dishonoring God. The biblical criterion for well-placed shame says, do feel shame for having a hand in anything that dishonors God, no matter how strong or wise or right it makes you look in the eyes of men. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You politically correct Christians, you politically correct preachers, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we are ashamed of Christ and his biblical standard. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a story of a soldier in World War I. Some believe it to be a true story. Who was so distraught with the war that he deserted. He deserted his fellow soldiers. He tried to find his way to the coast so he could catch a boat and make his way back home to England. In the darkness of the night, he stumbled on what he thought to be a road sign. It was so dark, and he was so lost. He had no idea what the sign said, and decided to climb the pole. When he got to the cross beam of the pole, he held on to read the sign. He took out a match, lit it, and looked directly into the face of Jesus Christ. He had climbed an outdoor crucifix. Stunned by what he saw, he realized the shame of his life. He was looking into the face of the one who had endured it all and had never turned back. Jesus Christ. The next morning, the soldier was back in the trenches with his comrades, fighting again. Beloved, you and I tonight need to look into the face of the one who endured all the punishment and shame of our sin and never, never, never turn back. Never be ashamed of Jesus Christ, who was never ashamed of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's love for you. And it is a shame for us to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, or offended because of his standards of holiness. And we lie and capitulate and quit and hide and hang our heads, put our heads in the sand, because God is holy. Jesus is holy. He died for sin. And here we have Christians today condoning sin, saying it's all right to be a homosexual, to be a lesbian. Come on in, Christ's Church, and be a member and star, and sing and preach and sit in the pulpit. When Jesus died for all of our sins, we wouldn't let an adulteress or an adulterer do it, or become a member or remain a member. But people have lost their minds. You know why? Because they're trying to fit in with society. Preachers are leading the way. I said it before and I'm saying it to you again. The church has been sold down the river by preachers, by pastors, who refuse to not be popular, but would rather be politically correct, pandering to the people they're supposed to be trying to save. It is a shame before God that God's preachers today, God's pastors today, are ashamed of him and his holy word, trying to change his holy word and denounce it to make it more palatable to the people. And as we look into Jesus' face, we must ask ourselves, am I totally loyal to the one who is totally loyal to me? For sad to say, to take a line, to borrow a line, these Christians today ain't loyal. Now regarding this passage, verse 6 primarily, and Dr. Walford and Dr. Zuck, editors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and their staff, and by the way, they did a wonderful job. Those who did not miss the true character of the Lord would be truly blessed. Though he will ultimately bring judgment to this world by judging sin when he brings in his kingdom, the timing then was not appropriate. Israel's rejection of him was causing a postponement in establishing the physical kingdom. But all, including John, who truly perceived the person and work of Christ, would be blessed. but make sure that we're not offended by Christ and his standard. In our last message, ladies and gentlemen, we continued looking at what Jesus told John to do in order to assuage his doubts about Jesus, and how he can apply this passage, how we can apply this passage to our doubts for those who have them today, and there are many, sad to say. First, we are to look up to God, look up to Jesus, and take our doubts to the Lord in prayer. Don't go out and be interviewed by CNN about your doubts about Jesus. No, take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't write an article about it. God forbid, don't write a blog post so that all of the Christian newspapers and all of the secular newspapers can pick it up and carry your garbage and your disloyalty and your hypocrisy around the world to discourage the weak Christians and to discourage folks who were about to come to Jesus. Take your doubts and everything else that might be negative in your heart to the Lord if you are sincere. Second, we are to look around and make sure when we look around to look back at the miracles Jesus has wrought throughout history in the lives of people and in our lives. I assure you that if you are born again, if you are saved for any length of time, you have a few miracles that you can point back to that God worked for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So look up, pray to the Lord about it. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And then look around and see what God is doing right now and what God has done in the past. And be encouraged that the God who delivered you in the past can deliver you right now. You should not have any doubts based upon what the Lord is doing and what he has done. Thirdly, we ought to also, and I mentioned this yesterday, it was not a point, but we need to take a look at the scriptures. We need to pray, we need to look around, we need to look back, but we need to make sure we need to, that we rather look at the Holy Scriptures. I encourage the folks around here, and I want to encourage you on your own, outside of family devotions, outside of praying with others and reading the Word of God with others in a little Bible study, read at least 3 chapters in the Word of God each day. 2 in the Old Testament, 1 in the New Testament, and you'll read the Bible through each and every year. And you need to do that. This is why sometimes the world knows more about the Bible than you do, and you claim to be a Christian, because you don't read the book as you used to. So thirdly, we are to take comfort in the fact that Jesus preached the gospel to the poor and sinful people, just like us, but with an emphasis on the poor. Jesus took time to reach out to the poor, people who didn't have anything, didn't have education, didn't have money, didn't have prestige. I told you earlier that Jesus, he had a problem with the up and out, particularly the religious crowd. And if you are a true preacher, your biggest problem is with the religious crowd. That's the worst crowd to preach to. I have no interest in preaching to the religious crowd. Here's the religious crowd for you. Move me, preacher, if you can. I already know it all. I've heard it all. I've read it all. I have a little Bible college knowledge myself. We believe in that song, preacher. I shall not be moved. Now, burst your heart. Have a heart attack trying to move me. I guarantee you, you won't move me. You won't get a holy grunt out of me. And who in the world wants to go preach to a bunch of folks like that? I listen to me very carefully. I've preached all over this nation. I've preached all over the world in all kinds of churches, black churches, white churches, mixed churches. And I thank God for the privilege. But I feel sorry for preachers who are trying to do that today. People who already know the truth, they've heard it all. God has already told them the truth, and they have rejected it. They have made up their minds on what they're going to do. And then you have to go and try to get them to move in the right direction towards God. And they've already made up their mind. I already know what I should do, and I'm not going to do it, and you can't move me. I thank God I don't have to do that. I thank God I followed the Lord's leadership to come off the road doing that. And I thank God he set me up to do something now that I'm reaching even more people. And I get more invitations to preach the gospel all around the world than I ever have in my life. And one of the reasons why is because many of you are watching me live right now and on demand. And that's one of the reasons why you want me to go to India, you want me to go to Nigeria, you want me to go to Kenya, you want me to go to South Africa, you want me to go to Paris, you want me to go to England. So all around the world I get invitations to preach. And I thank God for that. But the reason why the people want me to come is because they hear me now. I reach thousands each week right here. And so I thank God for leading me to do what I did early on in my ministry. Because preaching to a religious crowd as Jesus, I believe, would... I believe that he experienced the same thing when he was here. It's like preaching to a brick wall. We would rather preach the gospel to the poor, the people who don't have the Bible knowledge, the people who have not been in church all of their lives. The worst crowd to try to reach are lost people who are religious and lost and on their way to hell, singing, I shall not be moved. And they believe it, buddy. I shall not be moved. And they will not be moved. But in conclusion, Lord, ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, next, Jesus concludes this passage by encouraging John the Baptist with a blessing on those who are not offended in him. Doubt is often accompanied by an ashamed attitude towards Jesus Christ. During Jesus' lifetime, this offendedness would have been brought about because of Jesus' low social status. And fraternizing with Gentiles and sinners and poor people and wine bibbers Jesus Christ was not a prosperity preacher. Emmanuel, God with us, had no place to lay his head. Depended upon people to give an offering to him. He never asked for an offering. In our modern time, our offendedness is usually brought about by an embarrassment regarding Jesus' strict moral doctrine. Amen, lights. And here's where the rubber meets the road, dear friends, in our modern churches today. We don't want to talk about what Jesus talked about. We don't want to point out to people that Jesus Christ died for sin. Not, he didn't die so that we can sin, as some people have flipped it and somehow think that is the case. Jesus preached on hell. But preachers don't talk about that anymore. And so we have preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ who are ashamed not only of the gospel, but what the gospel is about. Saving people first and foremost from their sin. That includes it, all of it. It includes adultery. It includes fornication. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. It includes drunkenness. It includes pride. It includes rebelliousness. It includes lust. It includes lying. And it includes homosexuality. But for some reason, the church will deal with all the other things and fire a preacher for all of that, but invite the homosexuals in the church and put them in positions where they fired the preacher for committing adultery. The young lady who came into the church pregnant, not married, she's put out the church. But a homosexual, gay, LGBT, and the rest of the alphabet, they come into the church. Oh, they just loved and welcomed and you know why? Because pastors and preachers and churches and the people are afraid of them. They're afraid of that demonic, vindictive spirit. They are intimidated by it. It's a demonic spirit from hell. And so we have people who are ashamed of Christ, ashamed of God, ashamed of church doctrine, ashamed of the Word of God. Why? Because a couple of presidents have sanctioned homosexual marriage and homosexuality in our society. And they love the president more than they love Jesus. And listen to me very carefully. I was in a Walmart today. Businesses are scared of this group. Walmart has never had the Confederate flag on the back of their uniform. Walmart has never had a Black Power sign on the back of their uniform. But all over the place, I was in a Walmart and the gay color signs all inside the Walmart logo. Nobody's concerned about that, how that offends many people, not only Christians, but many people. Church says nothing. Preachers preach about everything but that. Ashamed of Christ, ashamed of God, ashamed of the Word of God and His moral code. In our modern time, ladies and gentlemen, our offendedness, our being ashamed is usually brought about by an embarrassment. God is too hard. Jesus is too hard. Let the gays in to the church. They can come to be saved and to hear the gospel. But no pastor anywhere should marry two men and two women together. No pastor should allow a practicing adulterers and fornicators and drunkards to be members of the church, and they're not repenting. Same thing goes for homosexuality. But we think there's some kind of, and we foolishly think that there's some kind of special class. And so in our modern time, our offendedness is usually brought about by an embarrassment regarding Jesus' strict moral doctrine and the call to put Christ above all else in society dominated by the devil and secularism. We cannot let ourselves be ashamed of Jesus. We must boldly follow in his steps. Jesus, and remember, Jesus died for sin. Jesus died to save us first and foremost from sin. Why? Because sin is what creates the hell. Sin leads to hell. You've got to go to hell if you don't repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior. Everybody, red, yellow, black, white, purple, gay, adulterers, fornicators, liars, and cheaters. You've got to, you can't go to heaven. And we got preachers trying to let everybody in heaven, and they're going right out the back door to hell along with the preachers. For we have the blind leading the blind. We must follow Jesus' steps, follow his teachings, follow his word, not ours. I know you don't like it. I know it sounds hard and unloving. But as Bishop Daniel White Jr. used to say, my dad, who's now in heaven, is tight but is right. And we must proclaim the gospel, the real gospel. Regardless of what society thinks, if that means you got to see your megachurch come down from 3,000 to 300, that might be where you need to be in the first place. Because one famous pastor told me, Dr. McKissick told me that in truth, the reality is for the most part, one pastor cannot handle no more than 300 anyway. So the next time, beloved, you struggle with doubt, take comfort in knowing that Jesus is truly the author and finisher of our faith. There is no one else to look to or to look for. Take your doubts to him. Take your fears and your bad circumstances to him. When things seem very dark and cold, take it to the Lord in prayer. And then look around at what he's doing elsewhere in your life. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for allowing things to be as well as they are? And then make sure you look back at all of the things God delivered you from. And then make sure you look to the scriptures, the holy word of God. Read the word of God regularly, every morning. And by the way, if you're not having family devotions, you're losing. I I don't care who you are. I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to preachers. If you're not praying with your family every morning and reading the Word of God, you're losing and you are falling further and further behind. And the devil's got you right where he wants you. And you're not successful. You're not victorious. I don't have to meet you. I know you're not successful. And I know you're not victorious. I don't care what you have to do. But you need to pray with your family. Whatever kind of family you got. That's biblical. Each and every morning, every day of the week, I don't care how busy you are on Sunday, Pastor, you need to pray with your wife and your children first, because the devil is aiming at them first, not your staff, you and them. The devil is sending all kinds of missiles and bombs and everything your way to try to knock you out of the water. And then your staff. I know you rather pray with your staff, your great staff, your educated staff. Y'all laugh and talk and eat donuts together and all that. But no, you need to pray with your family and children first. And then you need to pray without ceasing. And then you need to read the Word of God yourself, privately, outside of preparing for a message. His miracles attest to his power. And the gospel attests to his purpose. If we remain strong in our faith and reject doubt by doing these things, we will be blessed in this life and in the life to come. Joseph Griggs said, Jesus, and shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus? Sooner far let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine over this benighted soul of mine. Till then, nor is the boasting vain. Till then, I boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my portion be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and for your system of grace. And Lord, I know that there are many people who don't understand what I'm saying when I pray that to you, but you operate by systems, and your system of grace has us covered in every which way. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for it. Even when we have doubts, for those who have doubts. And Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word tonight. And Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Ghost, the conviction will linger and linger and linger until people confess their sins and repent and stop being ashamed of you. Because of political pressure, because of political correction, and other such foolishness, trying to fit in with a hell-bound world, living a lie. And Lord, have mercy and grace upon the people who have done that to you, who are disloyal, who are not faithful, and who love this sin-cursed world more than they love you. They love being popular more than they love you. They love money more than they love you. They love the adoration of people more than they love you. and they are ashamed of you because of your moral standard, your moral code that shall never be broken for mankind. Yes, you show mercy and you show grace and you forgive. But the Ten Commandments still stand. All of your laws still stand. Not only in your word, but in our conscience, in our instincts, in our minds, in our hearts. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. And yet we violate your moral code every day in this sin-cursed world. And pastors and so-called church leaders are condoning it because they're disloyal to you, unfaithful to you, untrue to you. They want to be liked. And so they compromise with the world and with the devil. Lord, have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are in this world and in this church and in the church. And help us to confess our sins and help us to get right, get our hearts right. Help us to repent and stand with you, even if it leaves us with just 10 people. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We all have sinned against God. And that's what this is about, people. That's why Jesus Christ died. He died as the sacrificial Lamb of God for our sins. Never forget that. He did not die to make you happy. He did not die to make you rich or famous or prosperous. Get that out of your mind. And he didn't have that when he was here. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. This is a very serious matter. Don't fool yourself. Death is still serious and still a scary situation. Frightening to die. That's a serious, that's bad by itself. But we die because of sin. Our body goes to a grave that is dug for us, or burial at sea, which is frightening as well. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. And so thirdly, you need to understand that you need to accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now as I speak. I don't care if you're white, black, red, or yellow, or brown. I don't care who you think you are. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior to save your soul from your sins and from the punishment of your sins, which is hell, you're going to hell right now as I speak. You don't have to do anything else. You've done enough. We all have. We sin by nature and we sin by choice. We all have. We've sinned against God. We've sinned against Jesus. We've sinned against the Holy Ghost. We have sinned against our own conscience. We have sinned against our own instincts. We have sinned against our own mind. We've sinned against ourselves. We've sinned. Against God Almighty. And we die because of sin. And if we don't trust Christ as Savior who died for our sins, we will go to a place called hell. In fact, Jesus Christ, the lowly, loving one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ, I believe, preached more on hell than most modern day preachers combined. It's so sad. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You say, "Preacher, I don't believe there's a hell. I don't believe a loving God would send somebody to hell." First of all, God does not send anybody to hell. If you go to hell, you're going to be responsible. Just like most of the people in jail, they are responsible for being in jail, and they know it. The judge did not send them to jail. They put themselves in jail. Why do you want to blame God? He didn't do anything to you but try to save you from hell. If you go to hell, make sure you understand you're going to hell because of your own foolishness and sin. Secondly, your unbelief regarding hell does not change the fact of hell. Hell is bad news. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of darkness with fire. Hell is a place that Jesus said there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's only by the grace of God you cannot hear the wailing and crying and the gnashing of teeth in hell tonight. It's only by the grace of God. Some of you still would not repent, but you'll be horrified. Hell is a very real place, just like New York City is a place. Hell is a place. Hell City, if you will. There are people there now. The Bible says hell expands itself. It's elastic. It expands itself. Why? Because hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But if you act like the devil, look like the devil, live like the devil, you're going to hell with the devil. I don't care what your pastor said about it or didn't say about it. You're going to die one day, and you're going to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. And I hear somebody say, "You can reach more flies with honey." I'm not trying to reach flies, number one. And if I gave you honey, you still wouldn't repent. You'd still go to hell. And what you need to do to avoid hell is this. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you. If you're living in this world tonight, that includes you. Red, yellow, black, or white, all are precious in God's sight. "For God so loved the world," put your name there. "For God so loved Mr. Johnson." "For God so loved Derek." "For God so loved Mary Lou." "For God so loved Victor that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time, "believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart tonight to save your soul from hell, and he will. And here's God's promise on it, Romans 10, 9, and 13. These are the verses that stand out to me on the night that I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. Romans 10, 9, and 19. Romans 10, 9, and 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou and you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus Christ, the angels, and the beloved family forever. So, dear friend, if you want to do that tonight, yes, God made it very simple. You say, that's it? Yes, that's it. That sounds so easy. Yes, it is easy. Contrary to what Brother Platt says or any other brother says, I love everybody, ain't mad at nobody. But it is easy. God made it easy. It was not easy for him. It was not easy for Jesus Christ. But it is easy for us. Listen to me very carefully. Think about it. Believing something in your heart, it can't get any easier than that. Let's get real. It's not hard. Just believe in your heart that you are a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and he took your place and rose again on the third day early one Sunday morning. It's very simple. It's very easy. You don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. All you have to do is believe on Christ. It's a free gift. Just receive the gift. And then all you have to do is call on his name. Pray a simple, short prayer. And I guarantee you, God will hear you. I'm in Texas right now. There are people in Russia looking at me live as I speak in Moscow, hearing every word I say. If they can hear me from where I am at, sitting on a hill somewhere in Texas, and thousands or hundreds of other people can hear me at the same time, simultaneously, well, I guarantee you, I assure you that God can hear your prayer. That's done by man and his witty inventions. And if man can do that, God can do so much more. God will hear your prayer. Have your name written down in the book and be shouting in heaven if you pray right now and ask him to save you. If you're willing to trust Christ as Savior tonight in your heart and pray with me the sinner's prayer, repeat after me, mean it from your heart, and repeat after me phrase by phrase. It's very simple. It's very easy. Let's do it. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil and wrong in your sight. I've sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I've coveted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents. disrespected my parents, disobeyed my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day, early one Sunday morning. I believe with all of my heart he paid my sin debt, and he took my place. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit, and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and my evil life, and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for I pray it in your name, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails on the site that you're watching, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.